Well, how do you do? I'm Roger Timer. I'm director of Kids Count Ministries. I am a local church pastor and children's pastor. I'm also the director of a resource supplier called Kids Count Ministries. And Kids Count Ministries exists to equip churches and children's ministries and families with highly effective discipleship experiences. And I count it a very huge privilege being with you today. And that is because I know that in the kingdom of God, someday, right now, and someday when we're face to face with the King himself, I'll be shining a lot of your shoes. You're the most valuable people in the kingdom of God. This is the most strategic ministry in the kingdom of God. If 85% of the people come to faith before the age of 13 and their worldviews are largely solidified by then the most strategic place for the church to be is in children's ministry. So thank you for your investment and investing your life. And my prayer and passion today is that I can do something, anything, any little thing that just might encourage you or even give you some helps so that your ministry is more effective. When your ministry is more effective, you're going to multiply. The effect is huge when you consider the amount of influence the Lord has entrusted to you. So let us begin with Facebook 2.0. Facebook 2.0 is before Facebook 3.0. What we have right now, they didn't tell you this, did they? How many people are on Facebook? Okay, well, you're on Facebook 3.0, and what that means is that before Facebook 1.0 was when people actually just talked to people, okay? Facebook 1.0 is when they did this. They took these post-it notes in new settings, and they thought of five things about themselves. For example, I would have to say, I'm going to have to write my name on top, so I'm going to have to say Roger. And I'm going to say I am from Omaha, Nebraska, the heartland of America. And I've got to attach it on my page, like this. Now I'm going to get another one. And I'm going to need to talk about my name on the top. And on that one, well, let's talk about maybe something about my family. Well, I have got three sons out of the house. And my wife is beautiful, and we are empty nesting. So we like empty nesting, and I love my sons when they come back. They're so much fun. I'm so excited about how the Lord's using them in their education and their ministry careers. So there's something about that. So you see what's happening? The next thing might be your hobby. The next thing might be what kind of music you like. The next thing might be whatever you want to put on, but you have five big post-it notes to write about yourself in Facebook 2.0, because we're going to get to know each other in just a second. You may begin. Do they sing that in Canada? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They do. Just to irritate you. I sure can. Welcome back. And let's take a picture for Facebook. By the way, I do encourage you to Facebook. All right. I need you. Would you please stand up, Tracy, and stand right over here next to Tara. And let me take a picture of Facebook 1.0. Because you guys really look stupid. Now, I know that we're not supposed to use the S word, but I won't tell on you if you won't tell on me today. Let's begin with prayer. And for prayer today, let's think about the whole day today. Let's think about some of the things that you're asking the Lord to do. Let's think about things that are bigger than what we can do by ourselves. And let's think about how I can one-handedly get my cell phone to go off so I don't get roaming charges. I'd like to have 5 people pray. I need 1 person to pray for that the Lord would give us a spirit of encouragement in our ministry. Just a short, simple prayer. I'm going to put all 5 of us together, and we're going to pray over the entire group. Who would be the person to pray for encouragement? Thank you. I need someone to pray for a spirit of unity in the church. It's vitally important. And one of the advantages in children's ministry is that we don't care as much about denominations or this thing or that thing because we're not competing against each other. We're not in it for the show. But we need to have the church built up as one body. So unity, who would pray for that, please? Right there. And now, we need to pray for insight and wisdom. Wisdom from on high, especially in how we can better and more effectively serve the Lord Jesus by serving children. Who will pray for insight? Right here. And then we want to pray for perseverance. And particularly praying for those people here that feel like giving up. Because I know there's probably 20% of the people in this room right now feel like giving up. If it's like most of the other conferences I've been to in children's ministry around the globe. Who would pray for perseverance right here? And then also, we need to pray for spiritual protection about just the balance of life. The balance of life, our families, meeting all the expectations of church and family, it's tough. Who will pray for that? Please pray for the balance topic. Good. All right. Now, if you are one of the people who volunteered to pray, when I start praying, I'm going to go to the room, just hand the microphone to you. You remember what you're praying for, and then let's all pray. Lord, now we are coming to you in the name of Jesus, and we're praying for something that's bigger than what we could do on our own, obviously. Your kingdom is bigger than what we do on our own. It's been won for us by Jesus Christ, and you've honored us that we can serve you by serving children. But Lord, we cannot do this on our own, so we're praying that by your Holy Spirit's power, you would empower this conference for these things. And hear our prayers, Lord Jesus.
So, Lord, we're praying otherwise. So we're asking, because there's a lot at stake. It's lives, 5% of these children make it. Lord, where there is discouragement, I pray, you will allow us to be the imperfect we.
Father, we are so thankful to be here today, and we want to offer you our praise and our thanks for us all together, importance of unity in your church, and how that is a bright light, and a bright God today for your spirit of unity be upon us.
Our gracious Father, we thank you, and we bless you for this time today. Father, you have brought all of us, Lord Father, to learn something more and greater in you, Lord Father. Father, we pray for the spirit of wisdom be upon, especially, Lord Father, for the children at this age, Lord. Bring before you, your word says that we ask of it. So, Lord Father, we ask you, Lord Father, let the spirit of 11 says, Lord Father, above all, let the Holy Spirit be upon. Open our heart, mind, body, and soul.
Father God, we thank you for your many blessings in our lives. And yet we think how often it's so easy for us to get tied up in the busy and focused on our schedules and the things to do. And so we just give that all to you today, Lord. And we ask that as we live out each day, that you would help us to bring that balance, that you would help us to focus our eyes on you, life through your eyes, to give you our schedules, to give you our to-do lists, and to allow that balance to come into our lives. That we just minister in your name and do the thing you call us to do and that you want us to do. We pray for a balance. We pray for our families and ask that you meet them as we're away this weekend, and from them and our ministries. And
Donna, were you on? Is there someone else? Right here.
In your name, as part of a much larger work. Father, when we're feeling like we want to give up, and Father, when it feels like we just can't accomplish all this, Father, we pray for your gift of perseverance,
yes,
to us, that we will just keep going in your name and for your sake.
Thank you. And in Jesus' name, we all agree and say,
amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Our topic is how to be revitalized for kids ministry. And the metaphor is working out with your kid men personal trainer, which is, by the way, Jesus. We know that's the best answer. We've got that one right. And I'd like you to process this in personal assessment. How right now would you describe your children's ministry world in terms of your stamina connected to it? Your world in children's ministry, not your family world, but your world in your world. Are you at the level 10, just stoked, ready to go? Are you at the level 5, you're just kind of going, getting by? Or are you 2? Are you just ready to throw in the towel? Now, when I ask that question, I know that there's a huge difference between Monday and Friday, all right? And between VBS and not VBS. I understand that. But we're kind of going on the average of this last week, all right? Now, would you share with the person next to you what your number would be in terms of your engagement with your ministry? 10, you're fully engaged and you're charged up. And 8, well, you're really doing pretty good. But 6, 5, oh gosh, you know. Share that with your friends, please. Find a number. Time to talk. I'm still going to pull us together. Take both hands, put them above your head, and give us what your number is. We're showing, look at these tens! Oh, yes! We understand. We've been there, and we also understand twos, too. Oh, fantastic. Very good. Thank you. A word I'd like you to think of today is engagement, how engaged you are. And that's because children's ministry is exhausting, it is chaotic, and it takes a lot of personal management. My opportunity in ministry has been to travel around the world and speak with hundreds of children's ministry leaders and also do personal consulting. And I find that since children's ministry is the most labor-intensive ministry in the church, and oftentimes one of the most important yet oftentimes undervalued, that the issue for children's ministry leaders is not choosing curriculum, and it's not just getting enough volunteers. The issue with children's ministry leaders is managing your world so you can be altogether engaged. Now, what we have a tendency to think is all about time management. I disagree. It is not about time management. As a matter of fact, I don't think time management is the right word. I think a better word is priority management. Because if I were to say I don't have enough time, I have just really, literally spoken an untruth. God gave me 24 hours a day. Jesus was never in a hurry. I don't need to be either. The issue is that sometimes I have gotten my priorities a little bit out of focus. So what I've got to do is I've got to manage my priorities. And in children's ministry especially, I've got to manage my expectations. Think of the expectations that you have around you. And why you do so many things. Or attempt. There's the expectation of who? Give me some shout-outs. Parents.
Grandparents.
Oh, yes. Who else?
Pastors.
Children.
Community.
Family.
Your family life.
Yourself.
Yeah. Who's the hardest expectation to meet? Yes, we who are superwomen and supermen. Yes, we should be able to do everything, should we not? Yes. And we've got to, and then of course the kids, your volunteers, your staff. So here is, I think, what's most important. We need to manage our own personal energy. Now, I'm not New Age on this. I'm very biblical on this. Because you must lead yourself well. The stakes in the kingdom of God are sky high. And if Satan would do anything to rob you, it would be to get you depleted. And I want to go through some of the things that can keep you replenished and the things that deplete you. So we're examining and adjusting our priorities so that we're going to revitalize each of your energy pools or sources. Your heart, soul, mind, and body. Have you heard those words put together? Oh, yes, indeed. These are your energy sources, physical energy, emotional energy, mental energy, and spiritual energy. And we want to filter our priorities by seeking to manage these best. Now, you know how we manage these energy sources? It's all about loving God. Is that not our purpose, not just in ministry, but in life? Is it not our purpose to love God? And our verse that we're going to go to is Mark 20, in that chapter, when Jesus explains the greatest commandment. And one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important, greatest priority? And Jesus summed it up. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. That is the great Shema, the beginning of the Hebrew recounting of the Ten Commandments. The Lord is one. Now, love the Lord your God with everything you've got. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. He's not asking that we divide ourselves, but whole, as whole people, love God. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Now, I would like to suggest that the best way to manage our own energy is to better love God. To do that, I need to redefine the word love because we have lessened it in our culture. Because I love Diet Coke and I love Jesus. These two are not the same. Right? So here's my definition. My definition of love is this. My commitment to your best interest. My commitment to your best interest, no matter what it costs me, because you are worth it. Class. I don't want to say class. Kids! Repeat after me. My commitment, I'll say it and you repeat it. My commitment to your best interest.
My commitment to your best interest.
No matter what it costs me.
No matter what it costs me.
Because you, I want you to point, to someone else in the room. Because you are worth it. Because you are worth it. Now, is that not what God says to us? And does not God fill us up with that? And the whole source for our energy management is 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us, correct? And did he not love us with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength? He did so when he sent Jesus. And Jesus gave us a perfect example of that. So we're resetting our priorities now back to God. And I'm, instead of using the word love God with all my heart, all my soul, strength, and mind, I'm going to say this. I'm going to commit my heart to God's best interest, no matter what it costs me. I'm going to commit my emotions and my desires to God, no matter what it costs me, because he's worth it. I'm going to commit my soul. That's how I'm going to connect with him and my spiritual purpose in life and my unique personness that's going to live forever with him. I'm going to commit my mind to God's best interest, no matter what it costs me. I'm going to commit, get this, I'm going to commit my body to God's best interest, no matter what it costs me. Now, what does it look like when you commit one of these energy sources to God? Commit it to his best interest. What's in his best interest? Yes. Is that not what he cares about? Now, how's he going to get to the souls of children? Through those people that he has raised up to lead. By committing to him, the best in his interest comes right back to you. He says, my best interest is your best interest. Because I am going to use you. And at this point we go, you're kidding. Do you realize who you're working with here? Yeah, it's kind of sobering, God. But anyway, that's who he is. He will take cracked clay pots, you and me, and give us the most important job in the kingdom of God. Can you believe that? Give a hand clap for God. Thank you. That's the only way I get hand claps, by the way. I have to ask for them. But that wasn't for me. That was for God. All right. So, now, what I'd like to do is suggest to you that by managing better these energy sources, we can better serve him. And I'm going to start with the energy source of physical energy. Emotional, mental, and spiritual. I'm taking a lot of this from the book, The Power of Full Engagement, which is not a Christian book, but I would call it a must-read. I do have it in your outline. Jim Lehrer and Tony Schwartz, I've read it 5 times, and I've also have had my staff read it, and the staff of the entire church read it so that we better manage ourselves. I think there's so much insight there. And this is what it says. Each of these energy, this is their thesis. They say life is not about managing time. It's about managing energy sources. And you can think of it this way. Because you know what it's like when you're hitting on all cylinders. You just feel energized for the day. You know what that feels like? But yet when one side gets a little bit off, you know, physically you're not quite feeling well, or emotionally you feel drained and your bucket's empty, or mentally you're having a hard time focusing, or spiritually you're wondering, why am I doing all this? You get all those things going together, and are more engaged in loving God and serving him. Now, each of these energy pools require exertion and replenishment. Physically, we all need exertion, and then we need replenishment. We need to rest. By doing exercise in each of these energy pools, exerting and stressing it, and then finding the right replenishment, we actually enhance the building of these energy pools. So we want to look at habits and how do we can put habits in our life that let us better live. Now, the first energy pool is physical energy, and this is a capacity. The capacity of this energy pool is measured by quantity. How much do you have? So I'm going to say physical energy tank from low to high. If you were to say 10 to... You know the nice thing about when you're in front of kids and you do this? It's great fun for the kids, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, right there. Here we go. That's how we do it now. Okay, physical energy. How would you right now say your physical energy is doing on a scale from 1 to 10? Right today. Today. Got a number?
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself. I want to give you a Bible verse on this. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And the to serve him with all of our strength, we want to take care of the basics, which is exercise, rest, diet, and sleep. Now, exercise. How many of you exercise 30 minutes of aerobic activity 3 days a week? Now, I commend you. And if you could come out with of anything in this conference, I would venture to say the single most important thing you could do if you're not doing that is to do that. Why? Because when you expand your physical capacity, it actually affects all the other areas of your energy. Is that true?
Yes.
Is that true? How many people like exercising 30 minutes a day? You eventually happen. I did not like getting out at 5 this morning and going and running on that little elliptical thing. But when I came back, I knew that it was going to be one of the most important things I'm going to do today. And that's because it was a way that the Lord is going to just keep... Well, first of all, I couldn't come up and tell you that it's important to do it and not do it myself, honestly. that is so important. Now, let me give you some statistics. It's kind of interesting. They did a little study. For 86 to 96-year-old people that had chronic illnesses, we're talking walkers, canes, barely scooting along, for 8 weeks, tried the test. They did. They did 30 minutes, 3 days a week of exercise. And actually, strength training makes a difference, too. Especially when you're older. In 8 weeks, the average increase in strength was 175%. The average increase of balance was 45%. Start now. What about the next thing? Oh, by the way, why don't we exercise? I don't have time. Get that phrase out of your vocabulary. Say the truth. I'm too lazy. I don't care. How about this one? Maybe I don't want to be very faithful to God with my body. Yikes. That kind of hurts. But I'm wondering if that's not really how vitally important it is. Because I believe that... Now, the thing about it is, you know how the Lord works. He's gracious and compassionate. And he takes us where we are. And I think that the first thing is just to take what those next steps are. Just take one step. We'll talk about how we actually make changes in that. But what the Lord is... I think saying is, I want the best for you. I'm interested in your best benefit. So, be faithful on this area. This may be one of the most important things you do. It affects all the other energy sources. They depend on your capacity. Now, you get the exercise and you don't get rest, what's that called? Fatigue. That's called burnout. You need to get the rest. You need to get the replenishment. And sometimes we fail to honor that. Now, they did an experiment, the Army did, in 1999, U.S. Army. And it was with gunnery crews. And for the crew, the contest was over 3 days. Two crews were shooting on a target that took the whole team to work well together. And it just required a lot of attention and work. Now, crew A, you practice all day long, 8 hours a day. Team B, in the afternoon, everybody stops and takes a nap. First day, Team A smoked them. They were practicing all day. Second day, guess what? You guessed it. Team B caught them. Shot better. Third day, wow. Team B was way in front because they were taking rest. And Winston Churchill said it this way. The only way he could have gotten through World War II was taking a nap every afternoon. He says, now, anyone who doesn't believe that is nothing but silly. And he goes, I'm talking about a real nap. I mean, take your clothes off, get in bed, and sleep. You know, amen. That's why we do it for kindergartners. Why don't we do it for ourselves? So, and also those, like sometimes those 90-minute surges. When we try to go over that 90-minute time period, we aren't as effective. So let's go ahead and let us replenish. By the way, does God have anything to say about rest? He created it so that we might replenish our bodies. So we have rest and we have sleep, 7 to 8 hours. We want to do that. By the way, how many of you check emails before going to sleep at night? So that's a good way not to sleep well. And it might be a time to change your routines. That's what I'm going to suggest. Change your routines. What might be a way to relax and wind down? It might be some warm milk. It might be an interesting book that you're reading that's not work-related. It might be a bath. It might be just a disconnect a little bit to kind of wind down. And enjoy that. That's a godly thing. Now, it is Satan's lie to think that we're more godly if we work more. All right? By the way, how do we make some of those changes? And let's talk about that. So, after this, you're thinking, what I need to do is go try harder. Let's make another New Year's resolution. Can we do that? How about another conference resolution? They are as bad. I'm going to give you two things that help us actually act those things out. That if you want to make a change in this area, the first thing is to connect it to your purpose. Connect it to your purpose. Now, this is the way I do it. The most important thing I do in the whole day is move my left leg 32 inches at 5 a.m. It's the most important thing I do. Because if I can get that left leg out of the bed onto the floor, from then on, it's easy. And if I do not tell myself the night before that the most important thing I'm going to do that next day is to do that at 5 a.m. and the most important person I'm going to meet is the Lord when I'm on that run through the, you know, park, listening to my music. And that then becomes a sacred space and time. So it's increasing the importance of what you're doing. That's one of the ways to do it. Another way to do it is to put it on a positive ritual where there is reward to it. Another way to help you is to talk it through with someone else and be accountable to another person. Okay? Now, I'm going to switch to the next energy source. And this is emotional energy. It is measured by quality, and this is your attitude towards others. When I say quality, it's going to move from between being negative to positive. And Scripture is so true to this. The fruit of the Spirit. If God's Spirit's living in you, guess what? He is the one that provides a resource here emotionally to give us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. But also the works of the flesh. Satan likes to get in there and get us to think as many negative things as positive as possible. So what we need to do is refuel our emotions by practicing emotions like being thankful, contentment, joy, peace, patience, empathy, self-confidence, hope. What are the activities that give you that? What are the things that bring you joy? What are the things and the people that help you feel loved? And why is it that it's so easy to talk about that stupid servant of the Lord, pastor, that you're having a hard time with? And believe me, there is no such thing as a church leadership team that does not have disagreements. It's another thing for the disagreements to grow to conflicts that are unresolved because of this energy pool right here. Because we hang on to negative emotions. And we must actually develop rituals to get ourselves out of those energy, out of those draining things that always point out the worst in people. Now, so I'm responsible in my leadership team for our entire church staff for running all of our leadership meetings. So the devotion point for every leadership meeting that lasts 1 hour every Monday, there's three people each meeting, and they have one truth about what it means to build one another up in Christ. And a Bible verse for it, and then they do the prayer. They do the short prayer for it every week, 6 months. That's all we're talking about. What does it mean to build up one another in Christ? Now, you think of the things that help with that. How about think of them right now? What are some of those? Give me a shout out. What are the things that help you think positive about the people around you? How about think positive about the people around you? How about when you have a disagreement with someone, don't go talk to someone else about it. Talk to the person. How about looking for their qualities instead of the things that you wish that were there? How about seeing them the way God sees them? How about blessing them? How about praying for them? How about being thankful for them? Do you realize what that does for you, not just them? This is part of your energy tank. Because anger, resentment, envy, worry, bitterness, defensiveness will drain it. And we've got to change some of our expectations around us. That maybe some people are going to be that way. Why am I getting upset when they're always that way? No, let them be that way. Give it to God. And move on. Let's go to mental energy. And this is the capacity that is measured by focus. How well do you think through challenges? All right, now we're moving on this one from being distracted to focused resolve. How many of you, first thing you do in the morning is check your email? How many? Okay, stop it. Why? Why is that a problem sometimes? You're off on a run. And who's got the agenda? The whole world. And one of your jobs is, and it is one of the most important things you're going to do, is to be able to intellectually prioritize your world and say, I will not get everything done. That is God's plan for me. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to get the most important things done. So let me write those down and spend time in prayer for those every week. Now, I was talking to Donna beforehand, as she's in children's ministry, and we talked about how pastors need to be led in to valuing children's ministry. And here is a takeaway that I strongly suggest that you do. It is called a prayer letter. And if you do not have a group of people praying for you, you should, because your job is too important. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's about the resources that he gives you. So I'm not sure if it's anywhere from 3 or 4 to 10 or 12. I probably have, gosh, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 people. And they've covenanted to pray for me every week. And this is what I do. I have one sheet of paper, and I have 5 points on it every week, and every point is very short. I've got a title for it. The first point is always something about what am I praying for God's Spirit to develop in my character. That's important. I try to discern there. So it might be, I want to discern this week to better see how God is moving. Now, I might explain that in a sentence underneath it. And then I have got 3 priorities in the ministry. So this week for me, it was, 1 was speaking at Breakforth. A second one was personally encouraging people with our resources, because I'm going to be working with my wife at our resource booth. And the third one was discerning with our call committee as we're hiring another lead staff person. And we've got a week to decide on that. Those are the 3 things. There's only a sentence under each one of them. That tells me what my priorities are. And now my fifth one, my fifth of this list, is always on my family. So I prayed for a blessing that Cheryl and I would have just a great week together. Now, we're really focused. I mean, I kind of know what's important. A lot of other stuff, because I'm not going to get my 150 emails. You know, that's just life. And I'm going to help change everyone's expectations. That they don't expect me to get to your emails. You've got to label them urgent, and my secretary will look at them, you know, and say, well, maybe we can find another way to work with it. But I will say this. You know who else gets that? You know who else gets that prayer letter? I want to give it up to my pastor, senior pastor. I want him praying for me. But he also knows what's important in my world. Otherwise, he never would. I want to give it lateral to my colleagues on the team. And then I want to push it downward, too, to the people that I'm leading. So you see how I'm communicating what I've discerned to be important? And that is mentally focused. I want to stay focused. And if you can figure out the things to do that are important, and you can do them at regular, small intervals, don't underestimate what the Lord can do with you. I learned that about 10... Well, actually, I learned that as I completed my... I've been a children's pastor for 17 years. During that time, I completed my doctoral work in developing a new type of children's ministry curriculum using the inductive Bible study technique. And part of that was to test this material with different churches and then to see how we could help them. And it grew and it started growing and growing and growing and growing. And then as soon as it started growing, we started supplying people. Then they wanted different age groups and you had to start writing. And over the course of time, I ended up with a team of people around me, but it was kind of the creative writer, producing 10,000 pages. Now, if you'd have told me at that time, I'd have run out of the room screaming, I hate writing. But I did find out that if you just do on a regular basis, it's a 90-minute brainstorm meeting. You have the right person sitting at the table, and then you can have the right person taking the dictation, you know, and then you might have 4 of those meetings in a week, sometimes 5. But it's by prioritizing and doing a couple little patterns of the stuff that really begins to matter. Now, that's what the Lord called me to do. Please, yourself, save yourself, save yourself. Please don't start writing curriculum. It's nasty work, you know. But, because it's so time-consuming. But anyway, I'm not sure what it is in your world. But that's that focused part. Okay, I'm going to now fly over the last two because I'm going to do that. And, well, you know what? I'm not going to fly over the next two. But I do believe that our break is more important than me talking. And I've got the last two energy sources. And I want to talk about them because... Oh, no, I only have one more. No, I am going to finish it then. Look at your scripture verse in Philippians 4:8 about what to think on. and how to have those focus. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. At this point, I believe in your outline, did I not put the book, 1,000 Gifts? How many have read it? Okay. Did it change your world?
Absolutely.
Did it rock your house?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that you should make not only you read, have your whole church read it. It will change your world when you understand that eucharisteo, what it means to give thanks in all circumstances and to pause. And what it does, it gives you such a focus on what God's doing that you're thankful for. You do not have time to be complaining about anything. And it changed our church. That's what we talk about all the time. And Facebook is what's your eucharisteo. 1,000 Gifts. It's a great book. It's not at the bookstore. Sorry. Ordered online. I think everyone does nowadays. Yeah. Refuel your mental tank with positive, faith-filled outlooks. And that comes from thankfulness. Okay. There's your must-read. And Voskam. Spiritual energy. Now, this is the one that has the greatest power. This is measured by force, its ability to pull you along. Now, you think about it. What is your purpose in life that pulls you? What gets you up and out of bed in the morning? And as followers of Jesus Christ, do you realize what he's given us? What a privilege it is for us to not live our lives aimlessly, just trying to satisfy our own petty selfishness. You realize how empty that would be? You realize how rich we are being filled with the God Spirit himself that we can literally give our lives away to other people? Wow! That's your purpose. And you must spend time every day in God's Word so he can speak to you and empower you for your life. He's interested in more in your life, more in loving you than just how good you are as a children's director. So enjoy that with him. Take time with that in him. And maybe one of the best things you can do for the kids in your congregation and your church is for you to take a one-day spiritual retreat every quarter and get away and talk to God. And let him affirm you because of who you are. That really, really matters because it's going to get tough. You know it's going to get tough. But what can stand against you if Christ is for you? And if you don't know that, if you're not living that, breathing that, then you're going to try to find your success by better organizing your ministry? Forget that noise. I've tried it. You can't organize children's ministry. Well, I guess you can. But, all right. So pursue your calling. Know it well. And then let Jesus minister to you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find, get this, rest. Rest for your souls. Let your Sabbath days, and you'd find them. Because you're going to have to re-engineer Sundays. And get out of any Sunday. If you're going to still keep Sundays, you're going to have to make your Sabbath go from Sunday afternoon to, or maybe you start at Saturday night and it goes to Sunday morning and it gets kind of intense, you know, but then Sunday afternoon and the rest of the day. And it's no work. And it's all about delight in the Lord. And it's all about feasting. And it's all about love. And it's all about doing the things that replenish you and enjoying the Lord and being intentional about doing that and just finding and nap if you want and not feel guilty about it and celebrate what God's doing. Find rest for your soul. So this will pull you along, giving you motivation, perseverance, and direction. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you love us with all of who you are as God. That's bigger than we can ever fathom it or imagine. But certainly, Lord, we see it in Jesus Christ. True God, and yet true man. And he loved us with all of his mind and soul and strength and body. So that because he had our best interest in mind, he went to the cross. And the cross would not defeat him. But through that has redeemed us so that we would not have defeat as well. So that we might be able to live the life full that he's promised us. That we might better love you and better love others and better love ourselves. Help us to do that, Lord, as we manage, Lord, our lives the way that you would have us, so that they would bring a special kind of honor to you because we're just managing the gifts of our body, the gifts of our emotions and our desires, the gift of our minds and our thinking, and the gift, O Lord, of our spirit that connects with you and has purpose that we tie into the purpose you've given us. May it be so, Lord, to your glory in Jesus' name.